This week on the program, it's time once again to get twisted. It's Saw 5. I'm Andrew Saw.
Steven Saw.
Eric Saw.
Fuck this movie. Saw.
And the Halloween Spooktacular gets started a bit early on We Hate Movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes, that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This sick fuck's using one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the fucking lotion in the
bag? What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fine program, as always. That's right. We're back at it. We're back to the fucking green-lit warehouse.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're talking Saw 5. Now, this fucker was from 2008, directed by David Hackel.
You just take that L off. Take the L off right now. Just do it.
A film by David Hackel.
Oh, yeah. Dude, a film by...
I know you're strapping in for the Saw movie, but wait. A film by David Hackel.
Dude, the audacity. And I know we've pointed this out before when movies do this, but like, you're making Saw 5, man. This is not a film by nobody.
It's not. And I mean, like, that's the problem with these movies is they take themselves way too goddamn seriously.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's the fifth one. Have a little fun with it.
Yeah, by the fifth one, I need a smattering of comedy.
But that's like going against the whole grain of what this thing is and
which
why
is
it
what?
Was as popular as it was. Like, or still is. What the hell am I talking about? Like, the seriousness of it, the grimness of it, like at this point, the way the movie starts, I almost thought it was going to be like New York Stories, like three separate stories separated out.
You
and
know
like,
what, better. Kevin, that's a great idea, dude. The next one of these, we get Francis Ford Coppola, Martin Scorsese, and well, maybe not Woody Allen. We'll find a third guy.
He might put some spice into it, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Let the Woodman run wild on
the
this.
The Woodman
yeah.
has tied up a young woman and put her into a room of ill repute. Yes,
I don't know
course.
About playing a game, but I'll do the Sunday crossword.
I'm going to call on my own experience in the game.
Exactly.
All right, oh my God. You have to. All right, Mr. Allen, you have 5 minutes to not play the fucking clarinet or else you'll be killed.
Just kill me now. Just take my head off right now.
His body explodes immediately.
Or not direct a fucking movie. No one's watching them anymore. Stop.
Yeah.
People are people are watching them.
If you go into the theater for some of these movies, like, yeah. You got me. I didn't have a movie this time. I just wanted to piss people off.
I'm just taking your picture. I'm just making sure everybody knows that you watched my movie. Isn't that funny?
Hello there, Chris Cabin. You came to the Woody Allen movie.
Oh,
you have
it.
To pay for your crimes now.
Oh, fucking it's damn it. I just wanted to see Rifkin's Festival. That's all.
Oh, you're the one.
There's nothing called Raindrop Serenade. It's kind of a hoax.
Dude,
Rifkin's
yeah.
Festival is a parade of pain across your body.
You gotta fucking yeah, you get locked in a theater, Jigsaw comes on, he's just like, you gotta watch every one of Woody Allen's movies from fucking post Blue Jasmine to present day. Have fun with that shit.
Yeah, you were skipping Scoop.
Man, but so this movie, of course, we are picking up right where 4 left off, which if you haven't heard our raucous live episode on Saw 4 from Toronto, our Canadian debut.
Yes, go back and check that out. But you're right, this picks off where that left off, but we're going back and forward. It's like they noticed problems with the foundation of their franchise. And like, yeah, we need some caulking in the back here. these walls aren't staying up on their own. Let's just pretend that stuff was happening during those movies that we just didn't do.
No. Yeah, by the end of this, they're going to be like I know part 10 actually seems like it's going to be a bit more of a separate story with Jigsaw getting fleeced in Mexico, which is what I hope that movie's about.
Hell yeah. Sure. Hell yeah.
And seeking revenge on some poor medical decisions.
Hey, this didn't cure my cancer. What gives? Your magic holy water, motherfucker, didn't do jackass shit.
All right, dude, I think
I don't know how to say you want to play a game in Spanish. Let me go do it in America.
I don't think, I mean, we haven't seen the movie yet, but from the trailer, I think it's kind of telling, because like he goes to a different doctor or whatever, yeah. Like back in the States, and they're like, yeah, they just opened you up, but didn't even do anything.
Dr. Nick Riviera.
Yeah, dude. Fucking Hollywood Upstairs Medical School stitch job.
But what I'm saying, if.
Yeah.
The rest of these movies, it feels like by the ninth one, it's just going to be like the beginning of the first one again. And there's 40 people setting this up like, hey, Darren, you got that over there? Hoffman, you're helping out with the sinks, right? Make sure Mindy is going to be here by 4. She's going to have sandwiches for everybody.
Now, Amanda, you're going to have to get into character because you're the one that's going undercover in part 2. So did you do all your research with all the other people you're going to be in the room with? And people, remember your punch card. Because there's a lot of work to be done and it doesn't seem to be getting done on time. And remember, John Kramer doesn't pay overtime. Yeah, we're clocking in and out now. And don't forget the cover letter on your TPS reports.
That's actually a question. Does Costas Mandylor, is he like getting paid to help him out? You think?
No, he's just a devotee
now. Sure. The game.
Yeah.
If anything, he's paying him. Like, he's probably still throwing money down on fucking John Kramer's grave, wherever it happens to be.
So we open on what I guess we come to find is like a copycat by Costas Mandalorian.
Yes.
Correct. Hoffman. Yes. Hoffman's first go, you know. It's
at the very least, this part of the movie, the beginning, it's a dark and stormy night, and that means like the outside world actually matters. And I was thrilled by it. Right. I was like, lightning, and I'm like, holy shit.
We're not subterranean yet. And we also have this this operating table thing, kind of very much Frankenstein, obviously, with the lightning and all that. And
yeah, sure. Like, that's something. And then you know, after the first 6 seconds of the movie goes by, you got the rest of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's a problem. I mean, so this guy he's on a pendulum. A pendulum is like coming closer and closer to his belly. He has to crush his hands through these vice apparatuses.
Yeah.
And if he lets his hands get crushed because he, I guess, used them to kill somebody, he is supposedly going to be let go. This guy, not only does he have the Zodiac symbol on his stomach.
Oh,
well, there's more symbols to be had on that stomach.
Before you find out this guy's evil, because at first you're like, oh, this is just another innocent Saw person who like didn't fucking tip enough on their fucking on their bill and therefore are being killed. This you're like, oh wait, he has like SS symbols. There's a dragon thing.
That's what I was like, is this guy a Nazi? Like, what's going on?
The target thing, which I guess Zodiac also did, is also now a white supremacist logo.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. I thought it was Zodiac. I honestly thought it was San Fran man.
That would be something, because later you find out she killed Hoffman's sister, and like, maybe that's because he's a white supremacist weirdo and like blah blah blah, she's half Jewish. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, give me something.
Here's the thing about that though. Not only did this dude, Seth, kill Hoffman's sister, they were dating. So what is this world where Hoffman's sister is cool dating this fucking neo-Nazi? Like, what is going on? That's a fucking movie.
I just ruined my search history, obviously, by looking this up. Chris, it's called The Celtic Cross.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be wonders for your history.
Also is going to be get me hot soup is... You guys ever hear that Aryan Brotherhood?
Yeah,
sure,
of course.
Yeah. I finally perused that Wikipedia. First of all, don't like those guys. The more I read, the less I like them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Their logo is hilarious. I had no idea what their logo is. Do you know what it is?
Barney the Dinosaur? What is it?
It is a fucking Irish shamrock with a swastika in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because I guess they're mostly Irish. But
I guess all the other ones were like, oh, yeah, you're sure. You could take it. Yeah. No, we don't have to talk about the Italian. No, it doesn't have to be like a piece of mozzarella with that symbol on it or anything like that.
A meatball.
The Aryan Brotherhood's going to give you a shamrock shake.
Ooh. giving out shamrock shakes, you say. But yeah, so we're told this dude, given 5 years, he did 5 years of a life sentence, but then much like Freddy Krueger, was released on a technicality, which again, you're in a horror movie and you're telling me someone was released from jail on a technicality. I'm thinking about Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm thinking about Frederick J. Krueger. Like, I need paranormal shit.
I just watched this 1995 straight-to-video movie called Sleep Stalker the other day, which is a knockoff, a blatant knockoff of Freddy Krueger. And in this version, that guy goes to jail, and he just serves the entire sentence of 70 years.
Good.
Sounds about right.
And then he starts killing again. So,
sure.
Well, I mean, that's what you think in the beginning. Like, because you don't know, to be clear, you don't know any of this when you're watching this moment. No. Any of the bad cons. That only comes like halfway through this fucking movie.
Correct.
And you're just watching like, okay, it's normal Saw death. Here we go. But like, he doesn't stop when the guy crushes his hands.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't stop it. And you're like, oh, this is bullshit. Right. This is fucking, this isn't Saw. This is not John Kramer. He would have let that man go.
How about this though? Like echoes of Saw 4, right? In Saw 4, there is that flashback of like, Jigsaw begins and he does the trap on the dude and it gets fucked up. Remember that? So this is like, you know, Costas Mandylor, Hoffman's his first time out here. And he also beefs it, dude. Kindred souls, Hoffman and John Kramer.
He wants this dude dead.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
He wants it dead. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like, he actually, not for nothing, Costas Mandylor, Hoffman, I think is his name in the movie, Hoffman.
Yes.
Hoffman is like, this is an amazing machine. Like, he really did a number on this. The pendulum plus the two vices, squeeze it. That's a lot of work. John Kramer was, it was like a box with knives in it. Like,
that's
true. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Right. And yes, he did know the guy. And later on, that's why Tobin Bell says,
the heart can't be there emotionally. There can be nothing there. It could never be personal, which is the problem with the fucking movie.
Exactly.
I don't care about any fucking person in any scenario. Well,
right here is your local newspaper. You read your boomer news. You find out about some crime of the week, and then you track those people down and kill them. just at random.
You know, it is... the caring about the people is kind of interesting, because I think, like, I don't know, when I watch, like, Jason movies, I don't particularly care about those people either, but there's something about and I think it's because, at least with those movies, a lot of those characters are written to be like maybe like big stereotypes or cliches or whatever you want to say, but like, and these also, people are nothing,
but you follow them in good times and bad at least a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
You see them, you know, at the beginning, they've got all their camping stuff. They're like, this is going to be the best weekend ever.
They build them up in some way whatsoever. Instead, here, we're just introduced to people in a windowless room.
Yeah, windowless rooms already geared up and ready to get crushed. And it's like, so it doesn't even fucking matter. Like, you're following Crispin Glover. Like, is he going to get laid? Like, what's going to happen here? Like, and a little bit, it's broad.
Nothing matters in this, but Steve, your mention about the newspaper and the boomer news got me thinking that we need a, you know how they have the thin blue line flag and all that?
Yep.
Sure.
Of course.
The thin Saw flag.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. For people who do these to people they see in the newspaper.
Yes, hiya. My name is Tobin Bell. I'm calling from the Fraternal Order of Torturers. Did you know the three pig-masked individuals were taken down in their prime last week?
I saw telemarketers. Patrick J. Pespis told me that this is a fake organization.
Is that a handsaw in the middle of your flag? What is that supposed to be? I just like carpentry. I'm really into that. It's not, I don't support Saw or anything. It's just carpentry.
This is great, because now he can also get new victims from the people who don't contribute to the fund.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Well, then you hand him over to the murderer guy.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
If they don't contribute, it's like, okay, let me transfer you to Terry or whatever that guy's name was. Now, before we get to all those people, though, I think just what a theory, one, like a mistake that these sequels have made, right? Because, like, that was an interesting thing about that first movie. Two guys wake up in a bathroom. You don't know how they got there, and that's the movie. But when you keep doing this, it's like, oh, the next movie. What if a bunch of people woke up in a house and you didn't see it? Like, eventually you're like, no. I need to see how these people get there.
No, the budget's getting lower and lower and lower. And how would you like, I don't know,
maybe only 50% new footage.
And yes. What happens if the actor who plays Jigsaw dies and then you can't continue it because he was the reason most people were watching it?
I cannot believe the amount of times we're doing not only previously on Saw, but
hey, here's a cool kill from last year. Is that doing anything for you?
Yeah, and you know it's getting desperate, dude, when you're seeing fucking clips of Danny Glover in the middle of this movie. Yes.
Holy fuck. My with God.
The picture, too, is the fact that they have his picture there on the table of the slain police officers. John Kramer really did a number on the PD there, I gotta say.
And also that's the problem, too, is like you've got these two competing interests, which one is... your standard Saw setup, people wake up in a room. Why are they there? How are they connected? That only comes in, by the way, 20-something minutes into the movie. There's all the Saw lore bullshit you have to deal with that just goes nowhere and is so excruciating to talk about.
And also, where's Amanda?
No. Well,
where's
she's dead,
Amanda?
Right?
She's still dead.
She's very dead, brother.
She's been dead, but I mean, like, to Eric's point, she could pop in some flashbacks, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the funny thing. I wonder if she was fucking busy or something, because you do get a flashback of Hoffman and John Kramer setting up the opening room of Saw 2, and he says something about, like, isn't it problematic if Amanda is steering them? Like, doesn't your theory kind of, you know, isn't it all bunk, right? Like, these people making the decisions on their own. And he's like, oh, no, she's not going to do nothing.
See, and this franchise, you just can't, I personally can't remember the last movie to this movie, at least with something like Jason or Freddy. You know, if Jason's like, oh, this one, he's going to Manhattan, you know, they start to change it up or whatever. Different chapters.
Certain storylines change up. Like, there's the one where Feldman is the main character against them. Stuff like that. But what you're talking about is that it wasn't all plot. And all the Saw movies are almost exclusively plot or backstory. It's all boring, and it gives you no character. Like, you're talking about Crispin Glover. Crispin Glover has... attitude. Crispin Glover has personality in his performance. You would watch him and think, that feels, even if I don't know that person, I feel like I could know this person. I don't know a person like Megan Good in this. Like, because I don't know her. I don't know her at all.
Exactly.
But we also get a little bit of a Jeff flashback.
I was just getting to that because not only are we watching Saw 5 for the first like few minutes with Pendulum Guy, then it cuts into the end of Saw 4 with our favorite Gilmore guy Scott Patterson as Agent Strom shooting Jeff. Once you see Jeff get shot again by this guy, which is fucking great.
I mean, I guess America was Jeff crazy. They're like, listen, if we're going to make another Saw movie, we need to just acknowledge Jeff in some way.
The majesty of Jeff.
That's the Tommy Jarvis of Saw.
Yes. I mean, it also tells you just how much these directors versus the Jason directors trust their audience. Like, these people are like, no, remember, all this stuff matters. Stuff that happened before, it mattered. But Jason, was it? Just start a new fucking thing. He's going to come back.
Jason comes back and kills new people. I have to hear about Jeff again. I got to fucking find out about Danny Glover
again.
John Kramer.
You still have to hear about John Kramer.
I mean, imagine if fucking Friday the 13th Part 9, Jason Goes to Hell, is like, remember Crispin Glover? And it's like, yeah, I guess.
And the other thing, too, all those movies have is daylight occasionally, and like
we're outside, we're in the woods, we're in various cabins.
There's one part I think Mark Ralston's character who's like the captain of the FBI or whatever the fuck he is.
Erickson.
They're like, he's like, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, Hoffman. And I'm like, oh, is there gonna be a morning scene? Is there gonna be a scene, like literally a scene where Mark Ralston meets this dude for coffee at a diner? Would fucking blow my mind.
Oh, like, dude, could you imagine a roadside diner, like, speaking to Jason, just a grody ass roadside diner?
And there's like atmosphere that isn't a fucking grody warehouse for 4 goddamn seconds. That's
dude,
all I
Steve,
want.
You're totally right. And they're going above and beyond to like stretch this whole, all of this shit takes place at night kind of a thing. Because there is a scene towards the end of the movie where Jill Saw goes to see Erickson at his office. And she's just like, oh, yes. Thank you for meeting me at this late hour or something like that. It's like, what the fuck? Come on.
Take place in that fucking Willem Dafoe vampire universe, Daybreakers. Like, are all these people vampires?
I believe it.
Is that also happening?
Oh, was that Daybreakers? I thought 30 Days a Night, wasn't that?
No, Daybreakers is when the entire population is vampires.
Yes.
And the non-vampires are the weird people.
30 Days of Night is the Alaskan vampire movie. Whoa. Where it's,
I never saw Daybreakers. Just
where it's night
up
all the time, right?
Yes, in Alaska, yes.
So the Daybreakers, 2009. Okay, mm-hmm. I did not see this. In the year 2019, a plague has transversed all of humanity into vampires.
Dude,
okay.
you know you got that movie? Honest to goodness, Vampire Starbucks. And you
is
know
that
what?
Right?
Yes, baby. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Starbucks.
I believe it's actually even Starbucks, too. Like, I think that they got Starbucks in on it or something.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
They are a vampiric corporation.
Agent Strom stuff. So Agent Strom, he shoots fucking Jeff right in the fucking chest.
Oh, he sure does.
He finds the hamburger helper that used to be Jeff's wife.
Oh,
and he fucking and he turns on a tape, and there's John Kramer's little doll telling him, "Well, I know you're a detective, but stop investigating this right now.
Yes.
Stop. I know it looks like there's a lot of stuff to investigate, but
so
please
you're making
don't
hamburger
do it.
Helper, there. Why don't you open up that cheese packet now?
You know what?
And
now
add the pasta."
Thinking about the hamburger helper wife, you know, another thing just about like how didactic this shit gets, because like I think these producers must be like the biggest fans of these movies must be the dumbest people in America, because mm-hmm. like you see that fucking head explosion and you're like I remembered it, you know, because I guess we did the episodes like recently enough or whatever, but I was like, oh yeah, LOL, Jeff's dead wife. But then like later in the movie, you see the flashback of her getting wheeled in.
Yes, yeah.
And then to be like, see, the fucking hamburger helper was Jeff's wife. Does everybody remember Saw 3?
But again, I watched the unrated version of this movie, and it's 93 minutes. To Eric's point, 70% new footage. So, yes, like, literally, we've got, like, I don't know, probably, like, 78 minutes of usable footage here that we're doing in the unrated version. That's of new footage. And then the rest is all fucking cameos and flashbacks.
I watched the rated because it was shorter, but you're only telling me it was 1 minute shorter?
Oh, really?
I think so.
What? I mean, I just watched whatever is on Peacock. I don't know. Maybe it was just theatrical. What makes that 1 minute of unrated footage?
Okay, mine was rated, 93 minutes.
Okay, unrated is 93. Rated is 92.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably like just seconds of cuts, probably.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, that, like, Amazon has the unrated version. That's what I watched.
Table saw hands and whatnot. Yeah.
Chris, I also watched it there, and I had the option. And
oh,
I
you
said,
did?
No, thank you.
No, I want that fucking. I want that minute back
Give
in my
me
life.
My exactly. minute back, sir.
I got stuff. I had to walk to the liquor store. Yeah. Come on.
I know. I don't want to burden you too much.
So Strom, you know, he shoots Jeff dead, plays the tape, and you think like from the end of that Saw 3 that he's like stuck in there or whatever, or Saw 4, whenever you see him stuck in there, but then it's like, oh yes, you could just stay here or you could go further into the abyss. And he like opens this like wall door and just turns around, and I've never seen this before. Someone say fuck you to a corpse, pretty hilarious. I'm just looking at John Kramer's dead body like, fuck you.
That dude deserves it.
I would be putting fucking bullets in that head. Like, I don't even trust it now. I'm putting bullets all I'm cutting the head off. I'm like, just to make double sure here, I want this guy dead, but instead of doing that, he goes, he takes the bait, he goes to this room, and he gets the pig. It's Hoffman, but like
Pig mask.
Pig mask comes and knocks him out and puts him in this square thing that's filling with water really quickly. I don't think there is a tape. He puts
his head in a box.
Yeah, he puts his head in a box and it's drowning him. Yes. And like, you have to imagine like everybody else be like, oh fuck. But this guy, of course, because it's Agent Straub, he's like, check in, mate. Takes out a pen, takes the thing out, slams it in his throat. He's like, you thought you got me, huh? Fuck you.
Dude, it is fucking amazing. Brutal.
I'll pick drowning.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yep.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think part of it is if his hair plugs get that wet, it could get really dangerous.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So
you want to get out of the situation before the coroner finds out the thing he's been hiding. Okay.
Well, he wants to leave a beautiful corpse, dude, and he's not going to do it if the hair plugs are all fucked up.
Can I ask a very stupid question?
Sure. We're talking about Saw 5.
Anytime.
Isn't the thing in Saw 4, it's the what do you call it there, the autopsy bit, and then the autopsy.
Oh, yes.
When you reveal, and it's the tape, and it's like, the games are just beginning. which is something something.
It's directed at Agent. Is that Agent Hoffman that tape's directed
yes,
at?
Yes, sort okay. of. And like question mark there. And then like, because it's one of those things where like the autopsy is actually the end of the movie because yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like that's how they play it.
Yes.
So then like, where's the autopsy here and who are the games beginning for, when, why, how, what?
I think so then that would mean that the autopsy is then taking place betwixt 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Also.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Maybe. I think you're yeah. right.
Just, I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I hated to do
when
that.
When continuity becomes Swiss cheese, yes. it's kind of a problem. Yeah. I know a lot of horror franchises, we get into that kind of thing, but this is excessive.
Well, because they make such a fucking big deal about connecting it all. I wouldn't even pay attention to it, except for they're like, actually, all this bullshit makes total sense. If you actually think about it.
That's the thing. And exactly. It's all happening within the same goddamn week. Like, again, yes. like even with the world of like this movie, where it's Hoffman kind of on his own being Jigsaw. And you can even have flashbacks for John Kramer because you need Tobin Bell in this movie. Why isn't that like 6 months later, a year later? Like
yep.
take a breath in yes. these movies
yes.
and just reset.
Any because breath whatsoever. Just fucking have fucking Constance Mandalore at the fucking beach one day or something.
I would love it. I would fucking, like him just like sketching. Like he's flirting with a woman, but he's been like, right. sketching saw traps the entire time. Yes.
Right.
You think he's drawing like her, you know, she's like posing for the portrait, and then he's just drawing a saw trap, and his phone rings, and he has to get it, and it's like, hey, Jeff. Or no, hey, Mark. Whatever your fucking
is this Alan? Alan, yeah, you're fuck, see, dude.
And this is why I can't remember character names in the film, is because I have no reason to give a fuck about Mark Hoffman. I have no idea what his day-to-day life is.
Well, you're about to learn a little bit of his backstory, Eric. I mean, he gets out of this okay. There's also something I'm not going to get into it now, but he gets out of Constance Mandalore comes out with the little girl that they saved from.
Oh,
the last
Jeff's
one.
Daughter. Jeff's daughter. Right,
the little right. Jeff. little God Jeff and him cop. Come. And he, yes, that the other thing about this is there is fucking no star power whatsoever
no, no,
in any
true.
Of no. this at all. Not even in like the low. Like the best you got is in this scene, you have Mikey Palmisi fucking telling him
yeah.
like that he's a hero and that he's like the lieutenant detective lieutenant now.
This is why when we get that archival footage of Danny Glover, it's like, oh my God.
Yes, somebody who's actually in the movie.
You're reminded you're watching a movie exactly. when Danny Glover's fucking file photo
just
comes up.
Fucking start backwards. Cast someone that's a decent size. It doesn't have to be humongous. I mean, Danny Glover wasn't huge at Saw 1. Yeah. And then figure it the fuck out from there and actually utilize that actor.
A face that people remember. This is something that like really good directors know how to. Fincher is fantastic at this.
Well,
I mean, he's got the mic, but even when he was younger, he was great. Alien 3 has this kind of stuff where like the little things, the little characters that you're supposed to pay attention to are at least faces you can remember and right. like names
but then again,
you can
no
remember.
No one's going to do fucking Saw 5. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't like get fucking Barbara Compton. Get like yeah. one of the
Crampton.
Like, Crampton, sorry. And like, what's Jeff Combs? Like,
get the horror notables. Yes.
Well, that's the problem like that. Is that those people traditionally appear in horror films, not whatever the fuck Saw is. There's no horror here. There's nothing scary about any of this. There's no. Actually, this movie, I think. Other movies, I think this is the first movie without really jump scares. Like, am I nuts? Because, like, I remember, like, you know, there are in the previous films, it's like you're walking down a hallway. Ah, pig mask guy, gotcha.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
well, that's kind of like at the top when pig mask gets okay. strong yeah. a little bit. But, like, you're right. I mean, it is few and far between. We get a scene here after the whole like we got a live one and Strom survives and everything. We get this quick lawyer scene, and this is something I'm telling you right now, it's not even relevant until you see Saw 6.
That's
it
insane.
Is a scene where Jill Saw, now of course we all box. Remember Jill Saw, John Kramer's ex-wife.
Definitely feels like a second wife, FYI. She's
sure.
much
oh,
younger
oh,
than
oh,
he is.
Yeah. Oh,
little
yeah.
arm candy for the second half.
She goes to John Kramer's lawyer, and it's, you know, your classic, there's a tape you have to see, mm-hmm. very on point for John Kramer, and it's like, oh, hello, Jill Saw. If you're watching this, Yeah, I'm definitely dead. Here's this box. You'll know what to do with the contents inside it. And I'm not shitting you. She opens the box, looks at it, goes, closes it. This lawyer, hilariously trying to sneak a peek, does not succeed. Just goes, Mrs. Kramer, you know, do you mind me asking what's in the box? And she's like, thank you very much, sir. And walks out. I'm telling you right now, it is addressed in the next movie. Yeah, I can't believe it.
And also, just doing Jigsaw would be fine. It would make sense. There's nooks and crannies to that kind of performance you could get into instead of just having some fucking faceless people.
Well, and that scene is the most interesting scene in the movie by a mile.
Yes.
And it's not paid off. Like, literally, when this movie ended, because I keep at the end, like, sub threads are coming together, and I'm like, but what about Jigsaw? What's going on with her? Right. And then it just says a film by Patrick Hackle David Hackle. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
It wouldn't cost a lot of money to just do a fucking Jigsaw funeral and have people protesting it. It would add it would add a feel to the world.
But you know, this is all money you're talking about, Eric. This is like, made this for nothing.
I know,
this is
not
fucking nothing.
That much. You get a bunch of extras. You just do voiceover over it or something, you know?
One thing is very important in the lawyer scene. The first part of it is it's Jigsaw. She's sitting in a waiting room and this couple.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, this is something that happens in previous Saw movies.
Yes.
Jigsaw is always in the magazines. He's all like both John Kramer was and as Jigsaw, like in both ends. Now he's on the cover of New Mercury, by the way.
What the fuck is that?
Hey, the Centennial Jigsaw issue?
Whatever, magazine.
They don't. It's not just like Serial Killer Monthly he's on. It's like he's on Popular Mechanics talking about the best engineering practices.
But
like,
you know what? Be even more interesting than that is having him on the fucking news broadcast. I know you have to hire people to play anchors, but it would actually give me something to really hook onto versus showing me a magazine cover.
But they don't want a world. They do not want to do any world building. That's not the point. The point is to just watch people be tortured and then be, I guess, a little bit surprised at how like all this quote unquote comes together.
Chris, I could do that at home.
Well, sure.
Did you guys see my New Yorker cover? It's really good. It's drawn by Chris Ware, and it's me waiting for an Amazon package. It's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, he can't finish the trap without it.
It is funny, though, because this magazine is being thumbed through by this old lady who's reading the Jigsaw story, and there's a picture of Jigsaw in it, and this woman looks up in the waiting room and recognizes Jigsaw and then starts, like, elbowing her
Harold!
Husband.
Harold, look, it's Jigsaw.
And I mean, that moment alone is why this is the best sequence of the movie, which is so insane because that's like such a low bar of like not even comedy, but like, oh, man, it's literally
here it
something.
Is. It's a non-police or FBI official.
Yes.
That acknowledges that there is an outside world and Jigsaw is like a famous, like the world is aware of the Jigsaw serial killer just as much as we are of fucking Zodi or whatever. You know what I mean?
And we don't see the sun, but it could be shining outside of these walls. Yeah. It's entirely possible.
I'm seeing light come through the shades. I'm pretty sure something's out there, you know? I mean, fucking John Kramer being on Vogue Germany and all these other magazines. Considering how not original any of this is, I have to presume, I forget completely, but I have to presume it's his own head in that box.
Yes.
Just considering how fucking unoriginal any of this shit is, that was my first guess.
Did you see my issue of Disney Adventures? Yeah, it's me back to back with Jafar. The year's new villains.
And then if you thumb through that periodical just a little bit, halfway through, there's a really fun Chippendale Rescue Rangers comic that I also cameo in.
Can you find me in this highlights hide a number here?
Yeah, they try the Chippendale one. They try to rescue someone and they don't get to. Oh yes, the Highlights magazine. I put that goofus through the screws.
Let me tell you, that Disney Adventure, man, I had a subscription to that thing. I was reading it every fucking week. Absolutely. I love in this press conference also, again, Hoffman, the most obvious dude ever. Like he gets this promotion. He's now up to, he's Detective Lieutenant Hoffman. He gives this speech where he is basically almost verbatim quoting Jigsaw. And it's like, dude, You are this guy's partner. Like, why don't we fucking keep the Jigsaw jargon and the way he talks out of your promotion speech at this press conference?
I am proud to announce that the Jigsaw murders are over. Human life is sacred, and we learn every day life should be cherished. This is a health clinic. Oh, wait, no, fuck. Scratch that out.
Mm-hmm, not good.
There's some great moment. And again, like, it opens up to something that almost, there's like some reporters like, isn't there somebody else? Like, not now, Janet. And I'm like, who the fuck is Janet? She never comes back ever again.
I was like, all right, well, this woman has a name. Yes. It's the thing of Tobo rules, right? She's got a first name. We know that she's a reporter just because she's doing her job in the scene.
Yes.
That's enough where this lady's got to come back and do something.
See,
something.
That's the thing. Is just redress these people for the funeral scene and you're good to go.
Yeah. I'd buy that
funeral scene,
but no, you're not getting that, because is this when we actually start getting into the movie, like the actual Saw traps?
No, because there's all this. See, that's the really? Thing. There's because
Strom
there's all this shit.
Fuck around, right?
Yes, there's all this shit with Strom in the hospital and Erickson. This guy Erickson comes in looking exactly like fucking Walt Disney, which is hilarious.
This mustache is really something.
Which you can see on him on Disney Plus. He gets he gets killed in the opening of Ahsoka, I believe.
Oh, hey, that's great. I think I was already asleep.
Yeah, it's a sleepy show.
But this is Mark Ralston, who's in Shawshank as the rapist. He's also
okay.
He's in The Departed for a spell. He's a character actor. He's an Aliens. He's a presence.
I thought he was pretty good on Ahsoka for this one scene.
He's a presence I enjoy. You know what I mean? And his only character trait that he has in this movie, which is fucking hilarious, is he's got this Bluetooth on, so he's always ready for a cell phone call.
Dude, you know that this is, it's the fucking mid-aughts, dude. He's got that Bluetooth headset the whole time. So Erickson comes in and he's like, you know, oh, Strom, you know, you're off the case because all these cops died on your watch running the case or whatever. And he's like, you know, I know that you're all messed up due to Agent Perez's death there. And we get this fucking flashback to, I think it's 4, where the woman leans down into the puppet and it shoots her in the face with all the shrapnel or whatever. And I guess he's at this point sitting in her hospital bed because the fucking pillowcase is covered in blood.
I'm like, just could we get what a terrible hospital? Can we get a nurse to turn that bed over, please?
Seriously, Saw General, dude, terrible service.
Like, just. I mean, it's just, you don't want blood just sitting there like that. And he's doing it with Erickson, and then later Hoffman comes in. He's still in they have not changed the sheets.
Yes. So then at some point, like, that happens, and then we're still in this fucking house. The fucking traps have not even been set yet because Hoffman comes in and he starts going up to Strom, and he's like, and Strom, this is where we basically learn that Strom is very suspicious of Hoffman. He's like, hey, you know, all of those dudes died in there. And like, this is where we get fucking Jeff. This is where we get Donnie Wahlberg's head exploding again, which is fucking great. Mm-hmm. That other guy getting shot in the face.
Previously on Saw, the TV show.
And so he's like, you know, oh, you're the only one. Oh, your fucking handcuffs broke. Your straps broke. That's what he says. And he's like, Jigsaw doesn't make mistakes. He's got his fucking tracheotomy voice.
And he says, it was your whole crooked department. Like, crooked in what direction? Yeah, like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But there's a great, Costas Mandylor, I think, does a decent enough job because he is doing this, like, gruff cop voice that it covers up his Australian accent. But there's this one part right here where Strom is like, you know, kind of more than insinuating, like, I think you're fucking in on it. And he goes, read the papers. I saved that little girl. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh boy, it is. That must have been we did 25 takes and that was the best one.
I'll take it.
But this is, so we finally go to fucking Hoffman's hideout here. And this is, he's getting a new game ready. We see his little workstation and whatnot. And it's again, all these like fucking, you know, surveillance cameras and everything. And I'm thinking to myself this time around, I'm like, you know, with all of this, you know, the machinery and all the gadgets that we're building, whatever, we can't invest in clearer reception for these security cameras. Why do they all have to look like garbage?
Well, that's how he can. I mean, he's on a budget. I mean, unless John Kramer died and left him all of his money instead of his wife. That would be funny. Well, like, continue on my legacy. Here's all my fucking cash.
We're kind of going for a lo-fi analog
vibe. Yeah, a little bit. Like, I just need gasoline.
A little oscilloscope kind of a vibe. Yeah, after midnight, this actually turns into a cocktail bar. Hey, Stretch, what do you have?
I like cheap things like gasoline and vintage camcorders.
But we see this is fucking hilarious. We see like the room of all, you know, all the people are knocked out or whatever. Yeah. And then you see there's cameras on different rooms, all the various traps we're gonna see. And then he's got this little fucking Detective Hoffman diorama with all the people, like little like fucking Lego people or whatever, like set great. Up in the box.
That's that you if you want to give some humor, I need to watch him make that. I need to watch
it. Around with it.
Like, go to the fucking craft store and be like, well, it's just, you know, a little, I'm helping my daughter with a science project, actually. And it's him just quietly putting like a big M&M is the first guy.
Exactly.
You know, a little
Power Rangers.
A G.I.
involved.
Joe is over here about to have their hand split.
That's how you could sort of like start this movie, right? Is like, you know, you see him, you don't see exactly what he's working on, but he's got like a thing of Elmer's glue. He's cutting some construction paper. And in the background, you're just hearing like, oh, what a day for a daydream. Or some like boopy doopy kind of pop song. And then when it cuts to the end of the sequence, it cuts to what he's looking at. And he's been making this fucking saw diorama.
There is that part when the Jill Saw tape is with the hilarious part of the Jill Saw tape that he films, which is like, you know, if you get this baby, I didn't make it. You were my heart. But he's wearing the Jigsaw robe and he's very clearly in the Jigsaw, like, what do you call it there? Like,
he's on
room.
Set.
He's exactly on set. It's like, it does. It just feels like a behind the scenes. Like, oh, what's this? Is this Entertainment Tonight? Oh, hello, everyone.
VH1's Behind the Murders or whatever.
Yeah, it's exactly.
But I've always wanted to be interviewed by Mary Hart.
Andrew, you mentioned the pop song thing. Any song would go Christ. A long please. Fucking way. Yes. And please get your money's worth. Use it five times.
Excuse me. What are you talking about? The top 10 hit. Da-da, 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 da-da.
Chris, I did appreciate... I appreciated it as a cell phone ring because it sounded better that way.
So we go, we go into this room now and finally see all these people, and everyone's knocked out. They've got collars around their necks with like wires
Sexy.
Attached or whatever. Oh yeah, dude. And you see these like huge V-shaped blades. They almost look like scissor blades kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And this is, we got Julie Benz here, all the Angel and Buffy heads out there.
Yes, literally the most famous presence in this film is Julie Benz, and that a movie does not make.
No,
I'm sorry to
I'm
say.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that just doesn't work.
We've made this gag before, but I just imagine like a contractor coming in and be like, oh, you want the you want those razors shaped like a V up there mounted? Yeah, five of them. Okay. Ooh, that's gonna cost you.
And you got, Megan Good, who's, been in her fair share of movies also, but like that's, I guess what the hell did I just see? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. She's in that fucking, she's in at least that second Shazam movie. Maybe the first.
So we should call her Megan Bad.
No, because that would be a terrible joker.
We don't trade it. No, not at all. That'd be like making this movie.
But yeah, so it's the two of them, and then this tweaker dude Malik, a bald guy with a bad accent, and then a third blonde woman who doesn't have a line in the movie and is decapitated before she can say one, I think.
Yes.
And the thing here is like Jigsaw really is doing escape room stuff right now. It's just like,
welcome everyone to your game, and you're connected in ways you don't understand. And I think you should go against your instincts and look around for those keys, guys. Look around.
That's interesting, Steve. How we had all those, the horror meetups over the years, Dracula and Frankenstein's monster hanging out, Freddy versus Jason, AVP, all that stuff. What if we had Jigsaw versus whoever the fuck setting up the horror shit in them escape room movies?
I believe, because I've seen both of them, it's an evil corporation, and that would be great.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That would work.
Yeah. And the same parent company also owns Architectural Digest, which, of course, John Kramer would be familiar with their business deal.
Yeah, Saw LLC, that's a mom and pop operation. We're going after you and your profits, escape rooms.
So this one is like, we got to get keys that are in these glass boxes, And if one person moves forward, a bunch of other people move back. So we got to do it carefully or we're going to get our heads cut off is the idea. And there's a timer going on and it's like, you're going to get pulled back and your head will get pulled off. Or there's a bunch of fucking dirty bombs all over the place. Like these fucking IEDs.
Yeah, it's to make sure that you close the door after you, essentially. Is after you're done, you have to close it or you're going to get bombed.
What would you, were you born in a barn? Close the door.
Well, that's,
you're going to let the heat out of the decapitation room. Close that door.
That is exactly what John Kramer would do. That is his impulse.
Yeah,
did you turn up the thermostat? That's a saw trap for you.
So everybody gets out of this except for the blonde woman who the only thing we're told about her is that she is the fire inspector or works for the fire inspector's office. And then her CGI head is cut off.
Because the British newspaper guy knew who she was, but wouldn't reveal it. So it seems like he might be involved.
Yeah, right. Who knows?
Sure it will matter.
No.
There's a bad line right here where Julie Benz is going before they leave the room.
And her wig, by the way.
Julie Benz, terrible, dude. She's doing fucking cosplay with this thing.
I understand you got the other blonde woman. You don't have two blonde women. One thing, if you are putting your eggs in the Julie Benz basket, then you get a redhead for that role. Or you put that woman in a wig. Why are you putting Julie Benz in a fucking Lois Lane wig this entire movie?
There can also be two blonde people alive.
There also can be, for sure.
But the fire inspector's in the movie for 15 fucking seconds!
It doesn't matter!
Oh my God, that's so dumb. But yeah, the wig is fucking terrible. But anyway, before they leave the room, she's picking up all the keys that other people use to unlock their collars. And the guy's like, oh, what are you doing? And she just goes, being smart. I was like, oh, we're in for a rough ride.
Yeah, it's not the best. And meanwhile, because then the problem with this movie is Swiss cheese, because then we are following Strom. Every time we follow Strom, we also are going deep into flashbacks that he can't be watching. You know what I mean? But he's getting the information from the flashbacks if he's watching them.
I think he's accessing these via this website, Data Bounty.
Yeah, probably.
He's browsing Data Bounty.
Every day.
What is that?
It seems to be like the police computer or whatever.
Oh, I didn't even see that there. Yeah. Well, that's, this is kind of like, this movie is also sort of like dipshit Inception, because you have the present day, which is essentially Strom going around and investigating Costas Mandylor's character there. But then also all Julie Benz and all the people going through, that's like the present day. But then Strom in these Sherlock-esque fucking reenactments in his head. Steve, you're right. There's no way he knows what went on here. We're seeing that shit. But then sometimes in some of those hit other flashbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for the kick so I can get out of this fucking movie.
We need
movie.
A perspective of some kind. If you want to stick with one person the whole time, that's either a tormentor or tormentee, that would be great.
But that's, break the engine then. Like the whole engine of the thing is that but we go back and we remind you what this is, and then boom, we're at 90 minutes, fellas, and then we can sell a movie. Like that's the whole, you take that away from it, they stop, and I would love that, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
There is a progression, but who cares? The one that reminds you of Saw 3 when I think it's where Amanda does wheel in the Jeff's wife.
The wife,
But Hoffman was there just minutes before.
Yes.
And holy shit, does Tobin Bell look totally different? And holy shit, is the lighting totally different when the flashback starts? I'm like, you can't do that. You can't fuck that up.
I just took my medicine pill and I'm feeling 10 years younger.
Exactly. It's just dude, you cannot fuck that up. There's a part where he's bald and he's like the bass player for A Perfect Circle for a second. He's got this long soul patch. I'm like, what? What era of Jigsaw was this?
The soul patch was quite surprising. Get a look at that thing. Yeah, it's kind of like if those big telepath guys from the Marvel universe also had facial hair.
Yes.
But Strom finds out, which we already mentioned, that dude Seth, pendulum guy at the beginning of the film, he was the dude who murdered Hoffman's sister. So then he goes to this crime scene where we saw Seth and he's like imagining the pendulum death, like, yes. I said, just like Sherlock, you know what I mean? And he's piecing together, you know, oh, what's going on here? Like Jigsaw, he's looking at the tape, or this is what doesn't make sense, right? No. Because he sort of determines right here, like, oh, because the dude passed the hand test. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jigsaw like would have not killed this guy, so why is this dude dead or whatever? And then he's like doing the look and he finds like the hole in the wall or whatever. And this is the first time it happens.
Yes.
We flash back to like John Kramer and Hoffman like setting this whole thing up, and this is Eric where he gives the big like you got to take emotion out of it speech and all that
right,
dumb shit.
We're going over
an personal.
I don't know. I think it does happen before this because there is a progression where in Hoffman is in a building and he winds up in the same elevator as Jigsaw, yes. Which is oh, kind yes. of incredible. Oh, yes.
That's very fucking funny.
Yeah.
That's when he takes him. That's when he gets him.
Yes.
That's
he's in a start building. Yeah. He's investigating whatever. And then Hoffman winds up strapped. He's in the elevator with Jigsaw. Then he winds up getting strapped into a chair with a shotgun at his chin. And I'm like, just let it happen.
Please.
Yep. Just let it go. Please. But this is what makes no sense, because he's staring at all this shit. Mm-hmm. And he just says out loud, Strom does right here, Gilmore guy, he just goes, you killed him. You made it look like a jigsaw trap. Yes. And I'm just like, you must think that everyone watching your movie is a complete and total fucking moron.
Yes, they do. 100%.
Like, if I was actually like a fan of this franchise, I'd be so insulted with how they fucking execute some of this stuff, man. It's just unbelievable. And so we get a little more backstory of these people, like, oh, Megan Good works for the Department of City Planning, and the bald guy knows that her father's rich because he owns a baseball team. And you're just sitting here checking all these things off in your head, like, doesn't matter,
doesn't matter Olympics is this movie. Like, the fucking, there's this one scene, Costas Mandalore is looking at his shelf, and there's a picture of a pretty woman, and any other person would be just like, oh, I guess that's like his wife who he doesn't see often, or divorced, yeah, or whatever. Maybe his daughter, who knows? But right, then you're like, oh, big surprise, everybody. That dead person, that's actually his sister. You didn't know that, did you? You thought that person was just some person. Nope, it's a person.
Well, and it was his, and that was his only family. If you,
oh yes,
oh right, yeah. Yeah. Oh wow, what are the odds? Mm-hmm. What are the odds? Julie Benz works in real estate development, and Megan Good's like, oh well, you know, you need city planning to get permits for real estate or whatever. And I'm like, what? What is any of this? Who gives a flying fuck about work permits?
But you have to, because that's what the whole movie, at the end of this movie,
yes,
when
yes,
it all comes together, which I still won't spoil because it's so stupid and I want to really do it real time. it is so irritating that that's what this movie was all about. That's what this section of the movie, because you keep being like, all right, so how does this relate to John Kramer? Like, did they screw him on a land deal, or is this something about all of the warehouses that he has that maybe Jill saw at the end is going to be involved in?
Oh, yeah. They screwed him on a land deal, dude. Forget it, Jeff. It's Sawtown.
I can't believe the fucking property taxes. You're getting in a saw trap.
So then the next room, this is where there's like glass fucking jars above them. And yes, there's four different like little Ninja Turtle sewers.
Yes.
And it's like five people or whatever. And then it's like, there's four keys, yes, and only three. No, four people, yes, and three keys. Correct. That's what it is. And it's like, there's more of these fucking bombs that are going to explode, nails all over the place or whatever. So they have to find the key that matches the lock so they can hide in the Ninja Turtle tunnels until the bomb goes off. And is the idea. And this fucking investigative journalist, I guess, / ECW wrestler,
yeah,
just starts like bashing these fucking people with a big stick.
Survival of the fittest.
Well, yeah, he starts beating the shit out of Malik, who,
yes, it's
Stephen McHattie's number two in the beginning, yep, of History of Violence.
Yes. Oh, wow. Excellent. Oh, wow.
I really like him in that movie. This movie, not so much. But he gets the shit beat out of him by the Baldy. And then Baldy's like, it starts hitting all the things. And then it's Julie Benz, right, who hits him. And is like,
No. It's Megan Good kills him. Kills that other guy. And then she's like, she kills Bald guy in a surprising twist. And she's like,
right,
I just didn't trust him. And then they all jump in. And
by the way, what I also love about his backstory is like he works for the Herald, and they're like, that gossip rag.
Yeah. Oh, but then what's hilarious about that is he gets all indignant, like, how dare you, sir?
Right. And it's just so funny because it's like this takes place in no place and nowhere, no city, no
house.
It's
the Herald. Just, yeah, exactly.
The Herald.
Yeah, you know. You know what it's all about. And, sure. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'm definitely going to care about what you have to say, bald guy. We were just like, he says something like, oh, the blondie got what she deserved or something while like when she gets her head cut off. And I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy. Kill him. I don't care.
She was fired from the fire department anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So this is, we sort of teed this up already, but again, in a hysterical moment of inept storytelling, Strom is looking at a fucking row of folders that are all labeled like potential Jigsaw victims.
Yeah.
And he, talking to the folders, I guess, or talking to Hoffman, really, is like, so when did you first meet Jigsaw? And then wouldn't you know it, we flash back to the scene where Hoffman meets Jigsaw.
Wow.
Oh, it is so stupid.
This lady with the fucking dog is fucking hilarious. Come on, Pee-wee!
Because it's like some connection, like, oh, he's been on every case since this one. And it's
right.
Like, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Yeah, after the, like, after that dude the got pendulum? Murdered, pendulum guy got murdered, Seth got murdered, you were then on every Jigsaw case going forward.
I love that photo. I think he finds it on Data Bounty of him, of Constance Mandalore at the funeral. And he's just, I just love someone just taking a photo of a bereaving cop at the funeral.
I was,
and then publishing it. I guess it is a gossip rag, this Herald.
Of course it is. And I was, when this dog, Pee-wee the dog, who is barking at Costas Mandalore looks like he's never been more pissed at any person or animal than this fucking dog. And I was like, is he going to turn into a dog Jigsaw, dog saw? Is he
going to dog saw,
dude? You thought you were a good boy, didn't you? It turns out that you weren't. You peed in the house.
Oh, so you like torture dogs? Is that the idea?
No. The dog saw would torture humans.
Be like, oh, right. So you're.
Oh, you decided to go on vacation, did you? You put me in a kennel. Oh, that's right. It was raining outside, and you said, now's the time to go potty, now or never, and I didn't want to go out in the rain. And now look what happened. You're getting your fucking dick bit off. If you could reach the milk bone dog biscuit treat in time, your dick won't be bit off by these razor blades. You had to have a party with a bunch of loud people here. Oh yeah, you're getting your hands cut off.
It was thundering and lightning outside, and that's kind of it. You're gonna die now.
Remember the red wine that was spilled on my doggy bed during that party? That's gonna be you now. Remember last Sunday when you went to the movies and I traditionally get fed at 5:15, but you fed me at 5:38? Yeah, you're fucking dead. And keep this in mind. Woof, woof, woof. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Do you remember that time that you opened my jaw and took the horse shit that I was eating off the trail out of my mouth? Well, you're going to have to eat some horse shit now.
Yeah, you're going to have to eat a whole barrel of it. Oh, that's right. The only way you're going to get out of this dog saw trap is if you can put your face down and lick your own balls like I can. Oh, do you remember last summer when I was really sick for a long time and you took me to that really scary place and they poked and prodded me? And then, yes, I did feel better afterwards. But now you're going to get poked and prodded because that sucked. Guess what? It was scary. Welcome to this game. You're going to have to eat a bunch of chocolate. Yeah, that's right. That's the stuff that hurts you.
I hope you like grapes.
Yeah, eat some grapes. I bet you wish you weren't you today. Remember that time I was trying to still sniff that flower bed and you kept pulling me away from it saying, come on, halftime's almost over. You're fucking dead.
Dogs are way interesting.
Oh, yeah. I would love dogs. Well, and again, it's the fifth movie. Let's do it. Let's get some Dogsaw going.
Definitely. Absolutely. So fucking John Kramer in the elevator with Hoffman here, and he stabs him because Hoffman's got some setup line about, like, are you going up, and pushes a button, to which John Kramer, after poking him in the neck with a syringe to knock him out, just goes, I think we're both going to the same place.
Oh, yeah.
To hell tonight.
Ooh, nice.
And this is the fucking great just do it. Mandalore here, Hoffman waking up. He's got this fucking shotgun. pointed at his chin and it's tied to his chest. And, you know, Kramer's like, careful, hair trigger.
Yeah.
Because if he moves anywhere, we're going to pull this trigger and blow his head to jelly.
I'm going to be honest. This is what I got off the Looney Tunes. You know, sometimes that Wile E. Coyote had some good ideas. The execution was where he fucked up, but the ideas were solid.
I mean, not all of them, though. I can't tell you how many anvils I've wasted money on.
Oh, man. It's actually quite hard to buy TNT.
You know, that's a series that leaned into a setting, the Southwest. Like,
yeah, sure. Please
show me anything.
This right here is when we get flashbacks during the flashback, because this is a flashback, and he's like, you know, John Kramer's like, oh yes, you know, she was, your sister was a big part of your life. I understand that. And it's like, flashback to Hoffman's like police academy graduation, yes. And she's hugging him, and then the murder scene of the sister, and then, you know, Kramer's like, I know what you do. You leave work and you go to the bar and you drink there till it's time to come home, and then you get in your car, and then you just see flashbacks of him boozing.
Yes. I mean, like, it's totally nuts. And again, like, here is a totally good time to explore how his sister was murdered, because apparently it matters. You're mm-hmm. telling me it matters, so it has to matter. And like, yeah, this guy was a serial killer. Oh no, he's a girl. It was a domestic violence thing gone wrong, and like,
sure,
blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like, that's anything like that.
Steve, that is the opening of the movie, that you see that kill actually happen by this.
Yes. Sure.
Yep. Then you get like Constance Mandler brooding over it. Then you get John Kramer's funeral and the hoopla about that. And then you get the pendulum thing. And then we're off to the races, folks.
Yeah, just a nice, like, in order of events would be fantastic for these freaking
paying
movies.
Some money to actually do something other than sit around a fucking bunker.
Yeah. I do love bitchy critical Jigsaw right here. He's like, the blade on your pendulum was inferior,
because we know for a fact, like, John Kramer is a god engineer. Like, he built part of this planet. He was just an unbelievable brain. You don't see Constance Mandalore cracking the books and, like, going to fucking engineer school to create pendulum. You would have to, I mean, that fucking thing is insane.
To your point, I mean, we've seen John Kramer opened a health clinic.
Yes. With his extra money.
What a genius engineer, I guess, question mark.
I mean,
that's a funny part of that fucking Will VHS tape, is he's like, oh, Jigsaw, I still am kicking myself about that night at the clinic.
Yes.
He's like, he's still thinking about the door bop all these years later.
Bop, bop, Iran.
So it turns out, unfortunately, the gun is not loaded. Yes. And he's like, again, this is kind of funny because you figured Hoffman's already onto this, but John Kramer does have the line, I'm the man you call Jigsaw.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, no fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, I thought we were all up to speed on that, at least, movie.
It'd be great if for the rest of this part of the flashback, of this part of Mandalore's training, is he's got a Padawan braid going as well.
Oh, dude, the rat tail just comes out. Yeah, hell yeah.
But Jigsaw, my Padawan learner. Yeah. That guy just cut you off in traffic. We gotta trap him.
Man, I was trying to think, what would a Yoda be in this universe? We do not grant you the rank of Saw Master or Saw Knight or whatever.
And too young to begin the training. Gotta be in your mid-40s. Definitely gotta start in your mid-40s.
You gotta find older than Tobin Bell, though, and that's just gonna be a problem right there.
There should be a council of those old men, and they all talk exactly the same way.
Yeah, no, we don't grant you the rank of Saw Master yet. Or
Martin Landau is there.
Dude, yeah.
You don't know what it's like to become the Saw.
That's what it is, though, right? It's like John Kramer, he's just talking like completely differently, and then it's like, or Mandalore is talking like completely differently, and then it's like, all right, Hoffman, you are now a Saw Master. And his voice is like, turning into the Jigsaw voice.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that's just what happens to you.
So you can expand the world that way, you know, just have that. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's sort of like the high table in John Wick, but our table is a round table because it looks like, yes, a saw.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Hoffman, you come here. It is time for you to take your dolly
that you will use to scare people in videos. It is your personal dolly that you can use.
Oh my God. Imagine how great would that be? There's now different dolls tormenting people.
Hell yeah, definitely.
And it's like, you know, you also don't have to use a tricycle. You can use those little battery powered Barbie cars that kids sit in, or the red and orange Fisher Price car.
Power wheels.
And you will need a second theme. The doll is one. I used to pick mask. You can do whatever you want. You can do burlap sack. That's kind of creepy.
Oh, that's cool. Goats would be good too. Yeah, Satan.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. Some horns. I like that.
Yeah.
Plastic Halloween kid mask. I don't care. You know. Don't do the scarecrow. Corey's got that. That's Corey's. Because Scarecrow is another guy on another job across town.
Oh, excellent choice, Detective Hoffman. You've selected the Groucho Marx glasses, nose, and mustache.
I would definitely rock those. Fuck yeah.
So scary, my God.
Want to play a game? Hi there.
Yeah, isn't that what the killer's kind of wearing in Terror Train with Jamie Lee Curtis? Yeah.
All right, to get out of this trap, you got to find out what is an elephant doing in my hands.
Got to take the secret wide, which is play a game.
Yeah. All right, to get out of this trap, the password, you got to say the password. Oh, you knew it was Swordfish because of the movie you watched. Okay. All right, next trap.
So Hoffman at some point like calls Erickson and he's like, hey, you know what Strom's up to by any chance? Because he was like talking about he thought there was a man on the inside and now I can't find him. Oh, like yeah. And it's just so like, we get it. Like, there's no twist here. Like, you're just setting this up to this dude up to take the fall for all the Jigsaw murder continuation.
But like, just like the sister reveal, it's meant to be this big shocking moment when it does reveal that. And I'm like, we already know. Who cares? We already know.
Yes. And so Erickson's suspicion sort of deepens here because he goes into the records room or whatever, and all the folders for those potential Jigsaw victims are missing.
So I guess if he had those folders, that he would be able to watch the flashback as well. Is that how the magic works?
I think, yeah, dude. Once you touch the folder, you know, it's kind of like the Pagemaster with Macaulay Culkin. Like you're pulled into the file.
Got it.
And you get the full story. So meanwhile, back in the fucking game that this movie is completely unconcerned with, you see, they come out of these Ninja Turtle tunnels. Uh-huh. You see how fucking obliterated that bald guy got.
You want to talk about Hamburger Helper. Yeah. That's what that dude is. And it's
absolutely. It's kind of the best reveal of the movie. And like the fucking tweaker trust fund kids like puking. Mm. He's so disgusted by it. Which is pretty awesome.
And then something, we're in a room with a bathtub and like five car batteries. And if you use all the car battery, if you connect all the car batteries together, that'll open the door, but only if you do that. And then again, immediately Julie Benz kills Megan Good. It's like, well, that's how we're going to do it. It's like, I guess so. I mean,
yes. That's kind of like, that's where you're sort of like, this is,
yeah, we see where we're going.
I mean, that's the thing is like, you don't know whether or not it's out of character for this woman because you don't know what this character is.
She just watched Megan Good murder the bald guy or like put him down enough that he got blown up. So like, she must be thinking it's all for, you know, just doing whatever, save yourself kind of shit.
Sure.
It's smart because Megan Good, like you said, just killed that guy. And it's like she was about to kill the tweaker guy here in the tub. And, you know, what happens after that? She's going to try to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This character would be totally maniacal as a contestant on Survivor.
Oh, man. Much more exciting, by the way. Any episode of Survivor, much more exciting than this show.
Here's the thing, Andrew. Unlike most of those people on those shows, she's not here to make friends. Mm. You know what I mean?
Like,
most of the people there are to make friends and not to win.
Big mistake.
She's there not to make friends.
Interesting.
Got it. Mm-hmm. This is where we get a flashback to the first movie where we see the setup for the fat guy in the razor wire box.
Oh my God.
Barbed wire guy here. And this guy, like, he's ready to fucking end it all tonight. He's in his car like Ray Winstone at the end of The Departed, chugging whiskey, and he like breaks the button. He's like, he psychs himself into it. He's like, "Durr!" And then like breaks his whiskey bottle and he's ready to like slit his wrists. But there's a noise outside. And in any other movie, you'd be like, ooh, an unknown noise in a horror movie, like that could be scary. And you're just like, no, where's the fucking pig mask guy? Oh, there he is. Mm-hmm.
Dude, and then he goes full on fucking the Big Show here, and it's just housing both Costas Mandalore and Jigsaw,
which
and
is great.
Fucking rule.
Yeah, I love this guy.
It's really, really fantastic.
I need more of this. Like, that's what makes movies like Your Next so great, is that, like, you just watch these fucking murderers get, like, kicked in the nuts, and they actually have to, like, oh, God. Yes, they're not, like, live with they it. Actually that, get can get housed.
This is how you make an interesting set piece in a future Saw movie, is what happens when one of these people actually get away. Your fucking plan doesn't work. They're out in the world. They're running out. And now you have to expose yourself by being a fucking weirdo in a cape and a pig mask in the city streets. And I know this costs money, but it would be fucking compelling in some way, more than this.
Maybe. But like, I don't, Eric, to your point, like, yeah, all this is better storytelling for sure. It's Saw 5. Give up the ghost. There's nothing good here. It's all fucking dead ground. It's all been salted. The earth is fucking dead.
Because we want it to be dead, exactly. Chris, it seems like.
But then, so then they put the guy in the razor wire thing. And also, I don't know, dude, let this fat guy kill himself. That's what he's got his heart set on.
Oh, suicide.
You don't know what his pain is.
Suicide is a sin.
It sounds like
fuck my point of view is anymore either.
It sounds like you're being pretty selfish there, Steven. You know, taking your life and not letting me kill you.
Yeah.
But then he's like, no one remembers this, but here's Cary Elwes' flashlight. Go give this to Danny Glover, I guess.
Cary Elwes didn't agree to be in the archival footage.
There is a moment where you realize, like, we're basically told around here that Costas Mandylor's Hoffman is basically responsible for the start of Saw 1, because in that there's one of his like training flashbacks or whatever.
So Pendulum Guy happened in like 1995.
It sounds like,
something like that, because he's like, Master Jigsaw, I have to tell you that there's another cop who's getting closer. His name is Tap. And like, you don't remember that Danny Glover's name is fucking
not.
Detective Tap, and I had to look it up.
Yeah. But then in 10 seconds, you get the flashback of Danny Glover. But Master Jigsaw with the pig mask down, I can't see a thing.
Excellent. But then this is all the we're setting up part two. And it's just this, like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, we watched a movie and then we saw a sequel where you watch them build the set of the movie?
Because
this is like John Kramer working on this fucking peephole gun thing.
It's like, give me a new movie. Don't give me the fucking behind the scenes of Saw 2 and 1 and 3.
Oh, because much like they think that it's interesting or clever about people, like, just that you don't know how they got in the room and now they're facing the challenge, like, it's a mistake of these sequels. It's also a fucking mistake to think that, like, just because the one time you did a reveal that was like the end of part two is the start of one, or they're in the same room or whatever it is, you then falsely assume that doing that every time is cool because it's like franchise tradition or whatever. It's a massive, massive miscalculation.
I'm not even sure if they think it's cool. They just think that's the only thought they have. They can't come up with anything new. Like, that's just and they know how much something like that costs. They know it's only this amount of money, whereas anything else will be way fucking more.
And you can glue it all together with flashbacks, and that stuff is free, so you're good to go.
Ready to go.
Fucking sawdust and shit.
It's kind of interesting, though, between like Twisted Pictures and Lionsgate or whatever, because we keep talking about, the money. Fine. And these movies are cheap, but like, why are we fucking, you know, claiming poverty here?
Exactly.
Because these movies make a fuck ton of money.
Exactly.
This first one, part five, was the first one to not, you know, win the box office in its opening weekend of the sequels or whatever. But like, even still, you've had four movies that fucking really raked in some cash.
Guys, I just Googled this. I don't know if it's true, but apparently $10.8 million made this movie. And where did it go?
$10.8 million was the budget for this movie, you're saying?
I guess, like, maybe, I hope at least Tobin Bell cleared a
million
bucks.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I really do.
So $10.8 million for this movie. Box office was $118 million.
Jesus.
Invest in your franchise. Put a few more back in.
Well, you could do that, but then there's also stock buybacks you could do, which are a lot of fun and give you more power, and then you don't have to give a shit about the product you're putting out, right? So that's nice.
But yeah, so Kramer is making him watch this fucking dude in the razor wire. Oh, this is actually where he says all the it can never be personal stuff. Yes. Or whatever. But yeah, so then they do set up all the traps or whatever. He, you know, locks the gun. And this is where he asks about Amanda for like 2 seconds. Like, yeah. Oh, is Shawnee Smith going to be in this movie? Oh, she's not. Okay.
No, she's in the eighth one. She'll be in the eighth one. Don't worry about it. She's coming back around. We're reanimating her corpse in a couple of episodes.
I believe she's in Saw X, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course. Oh, she's going to be in a fucking flashback.
That's,
I just need this show to, I need a, oh, Constance Mandalore. We have to face off against Darth Cop. And Darth Fat Man. Oh no, fuck. And they, I would like the Fat Man to have like a dual, like shattered glass thing that he's fighting them with. Ooh. I would, that would be fun, I think.
Two things. One, yes, Shawnee Smith is in Saw X, and horrible news from the internet. Really, really like devastating stuff.
She's dead.
Purported runtime for Saw X, an hour and 58 minutes.
God damn it.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
No. Absolutely not.
Wow, that's fucking righteous, dude.
Maybe we actually put some money into it this time.
I doubt it. I really, really doubt it.
Yeah, we've been saving our pennies since 2004, and now with Saw X, we're blowing out the budget.
No, never mind. The director is the same one as Saw 3 and 4.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, how about... Oh, I think we actually mentioned that on our... Saw 4 live show.
Wow, he also edited Saw 2 and Saw 3, so he can remember this fucking shit. And also, that guarantees more flashbacks for him.
He's got them at the ready, dude.
I guess they're flash forwards now that we're doing a earlier...
Oh, sure, right. I forgot about the flash forwards.
Are we de-aging him like fucking De Niro and Irishman? What do you think?
No, because I think it's a thing where like...
I'll leave the door open, please.
you can just totally play up like... you know, oh, well, he's just sick, so he just looks like older equals looking sick in this world. I bet.
Oh, okay.
We're not getting de-aging technology.
Oh, you see,
here.
Constance Mandalore, you soak up the wine with the bread, and then you eat it like this.
So, Steve, this is your favorite scene because this we get into the next room here, and this is where it's like, we're figuring out more about what's going on here. And this is Tweaker guys like, I accidentally killed a bunch of people because a drug dealer told me he'd give me some fucking H if I burned this building down, and then 8 people got killed. And then it's like, oh, Megan Good, you accepted bribes as preferential treatment for these business permits. And
just stop.
Just, it's a huge
fucking like.
And yeah, you jaywalked one time.
Who cares?
I once took.
Oh, you didn't file that invoice at work. You're going to hell. Did you know we're doing the TPS report on all the cover sheets now?
I once watched you take a penny from that little penny jar in the bodega. You're gonna die now.
It's take a penny, leave a penny. You're supposed to come back the next time and leave the penny, and you didn't do it.
You never left the penny, and now the bad penny turned up.
That's all you do is take. Well, now I'm going to take your organs from you.
Yeah. And you know, that sign above the jars would be the change you want to see in the world. And that was a fun pun. And you missed it. You didn't even chuckle.
But this is, this part is actually, it's fucking brutal. Like, Megan Good stabbed in the neck, drops dead. And then they're like, oh, we can fucking throw her in this bathtub of water and hook all these electrodes to her, and her body will be the conduit that powers the door to unlock everything. And this is really uncomfortable. We are just jamming hooks into this woman's corpse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Including Tweaker guy, who gets her right in the fucking back of the head. Wild.
He's the last one. He's like, oh, it's a hook. Because like the first one is like power cables that you just put onto that leg or whatever. Yeah. And then it's like, it's a hook. You got to just go right in the head. And then they finally go into the final room, which is a wall with 5 armholes. They could be dick holes. We're not sure, but I think they're armholes.
The glory hole trap would be awesome.
Oh, man.
So while they're figuring out like what to do with that, this is where Jill Saw, acting on what she finds in the box, remember, goes to this FBI agent Erickson dude. This is the part where she's like, thank you for seeing me so late at night, which is so fucking stupid. But this is where she's like, oh, I believe, you know, my involvement with all of this is over now that John Kramer is dead. Why are your people still following me? And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, Detective Strom is following me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Strom, meanwhile, I guess, is figuring it all out. And he's talking out loud because, like, it's Gilmore Guy just in scenes by himself, yes, this whole movie. And he's just like, we were all supposed to die. You were supposed to be the hero. And yeah, this is like Donnie Wahlberg getting his head crushed, all these cops getting killed or whatever. And so Erickson now is, sorry, I skipped over. The funny part of that is when he realizes what's going on, he's back in the room where like Jeff's wife was dead and Jeff was killed and Jigsaw died, like that room. Dude, fucking Gilmore Guy flipping this operating table over because he's so angry. Yes. Oh, funny.
The Jeff room, we call it.
Yes. Oh, the Jeff suite. Of course, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Erickson now is like all getting his Walt Disney ass out there looking for Strom. He suspects, something might be up here. So he's like trying to track him and shit like that. He assigns like a desk agent at one point to like track the dude's phone.
Right. Yes, and something Casas Mandalore has the phone and he's like calling him with it, but then he turns off the phone and they can't find it.
They're like setting Strom up, it seems like, because there's like the FBI profiles that Erickson finds. And it's like, well, how did these get here? Obviously, it's Strom when it's actually Mandalore, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Mandalore puts the cell phone in his little workshop house there. And turns it on, and then the woman's like, oh, Strom's at, like, whatever this address is. But the fucking dumb thing is, like, shouldn't Erickson have known? Well, I guess because, like, Strom stole all the files that, like, shouldn't Erickson have known that cell phone was in an evidence bag? Because you see Mandalore, like, stealing that at one point out of an evidence bag. So it's, like, not Strom's like personal use cell phone or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I'm getting a little picky here with fucking Saw 5.
Would believe that was, if you're asking if that is possibly a drive a truck through it moment there, I'd believe it because they clearly don't care. Like, I mean, like, just like, whatever, it makes sense. It's 90 minutes. It'll make 10 million.
Yeah, you're right. So now we're in this final room here, these boxes with these saw blades in them, and the whole thing is fill the beaker with what is it, like 10 pints of blood, and then the door will unlock. They realize
the human body only needs 10, so if you give me 5, maybe you get out of this.
Yeah, but also you do have major arteries in your arm that you want to be careful about.
Absolutely.
Whoops, and that's the only way to get it fast enough. Oops.
But they realize there's a whoops here because Jigsaw's advice to them at the start of this was like, your instinct is going to be to do one thing and you got to pull the George Costanza and do the opposite. Because they realized like, oh, it wasn't an everyman for themselves thing. All of these tasks could have been accomplished had we all helped each other from the jump and blonde lady didn't get killed.
Oh my God. So actually John Kramer isn't a cynical piece of shit who likes murdering everyone. He wants to bring people together. Oh, isn't that so sweet? Dude, that piece of
shit. If you think about it, which is so fucked up and interesting, he's never killed anyone.
Yeah, just like Hitler.
And which he reminds us again in this movie. He's like, whoa, Costas Mandalore. I haven't killed anyone. I always give him a chance. It's actually a really fucking hilarious Tobin Bell delivery where he's like, I always give him a chance.
I am not a murderer. I am a manslaughterer.
And in this game, here's what you have to do. You have to just fall backwards and hope your coworker catches you.
Like, if I cut Chris's brakes and then I give him a bunch of puzzles to solve that he doesn't go into his car the next day, but he misses that and goes into his car and kills himself, I still go to jail every fucking time.
Yep,
but to be clear, you will be going to jail for manslaughter and not for actual murder. And that's really important that I am not a murderer, everyone.
Yeah, even though this is the most premeditated shit on
it's
Earth.
Insane. Yes. It's insane. It's insane.
But so this is where Julie Benz is like, oh, fuck, that fire that you started, Tweaker Kid, we're all in here because of the fire, because the fire happened and then the building got demolished and there was a crooked permit that was given to develop real estate and all those eight people got killed and oh, they're going to kill that poor woman.
I can't. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you need to set up this building fire in some way, shape, or form where it actually interacts with the rest of the movie.
Maybe you see it fucking happen at the beginning of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
I hate even thinking about this, but there is a even a possibility that they do link it in Saw 6 in some way. Yeah.
Okay.
The building fire? Oh, really?
There is, because I feel like a fire does become like a major plot point for some reason. Oh, I forget.
Man,
but these things, I mean, to what we're all talking about.
It's the Saw City building fire.
Thank you, Morrissey. Yeah.
No problem.
No, I mean, like, to what we've been talking about, like, these movies immediately, other than the first one, these movies immediately evaporate from your brain. Like, unless you are obsessed with this shit, immediately these things go away. I you can't hold on
someone
to anything.
Someone says game over and the toilet in my brain flushes.
I'm done.
And this movie goes down the drain immediately. So yeah, Strom follows Hoffman home or whatever at some point, I think, here, and this is where we see the house. It's like the hideout or whatever, I think is what this is. And Erickson shows up there.
It's another fucking dilapidated building. I can't keep these straight. I'm sorry.
According to the trivia, this is the house from the second movie that fucking Costas Mandylor has renovated.
Oh wow. Okay.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that was at least on the reliable trivia, you know. So this is the final round of the game is happening now, and this is, they're like, well, oh fuck, we're just gonna have to pump all this blood out of our own arms. Like, it could have been a thing where like the five of us just drained a little, but here we are. And this is, we're just jamming arms into these fucking table saws, man.
Pretty tough watch, like, I will say. This one was tough.
It was weird because I kept expecting, and that this would actually be a better twist, not even a twist, but like a thing.
Yeah.
Because it looks like, because you're watching the dude's arm really go up really hard.
Yeah.
You don't really see what Julie Benz is doing. And like, I kept expecting the end was her to be like, sorry, one of us had to survive. And like,
yes, dude, I thought the same thing today. Which absolutely.
Would have been something. It would have been something.
She then, like, the door opens. She fucking takes off that terrible wig and just, like, struts out totally alive.
I'm Jamie Kramer, his daughter. Yes.
Oh, fuck.
From his first marriage. Absolutely.
Dude, wait, Jigsaw's daughter?
And yes,
Jigsaw's daughter?
And yes, I'm only 5 years younger than his new wife, but still.
We have a very complicated relationship, me and John.
They both pass out from those injuries or whatever.
Sure.
And Strom finds the tape recorder in the room with Hoffman on it this time. So Strom walks into this room. There's a glass coffin looking thing with a bunch of like shattered glass inside it. And then there's a tape recorder there. And this is like Hoffman doing the Jigsaw voice. Not even really doing it. He's just kind of talking like Hoffman.
This is
like,
where you get the ringtone, though, of the theme song.
Oh, is that where this happened? Oh, because awesome. I missed it. When you mentioned that, I was like, when the fuck did that happen?
It's right here. Sucks. Yeah.
It was available, I'm sure, for a discount price while this movie was in theaters.
I guess this tape recorder was like a clunky cell phone. And since this takes place in an alternate... I don't even know what time anything is anymore.
Oh, right. It's 2008 in our time, but it's either like 04 or 05 in the movie time.
Who the fuck knows? Anyway, yes.
Bush is still president for most of this.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So Julie Benz, we're cutting back and forth here, and Julie Benz is like, oh, we won. And the dude with the fucked up hand, dude, he raises his hand up. Dude, this was out of the thing.
Yeah.
This practical
that, I
effect.
Mean, I was like, or at least there, I'm like actually getting a little something that I want in these movies, which is gore.
Yep.
I mean, like, you know, that's sort of what we're looking for, right? If there's anything to be found here, maybe gore.
And it was cool that it was like such a practical effect, because like that decapitation at the beginning, that's just, it's a really bad CGI decapitation.
Yes, it is.
Even for like 2008, I was kind of surprised.
And it's kind of like it just happens and you cut away instantly.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And to a point of what like also is usually in horror movies is women having fun and women like talking with people. And yes, some sexist fun stuff too. But like all the like there's this range of emotions just in these little scenes rather than just screaming and trying to kill each other. And that's
right. There's, you're right. There's no range of human emotion here whatsoever. It's just, oh, well, my hand is fucked up.
Well, they deserve it because of the Saw City factory fire. 8 people died.
Yeah.
There's and the permits were inside.
There's a light that'll never go out. It's the Saw franchise.
I had a sister and I lost a sister, but heaven knows I'm Jigsaw now.
Yeah. Girlfriend in a saw trap.
Panic on the streets of Nowhere City. Whatever. Erickson. It's honestly where like the last like 5 minutes of the movie. Yes. Erickson fucking finds the workstation, he finds the cell phone,
yes.
And because he calls Strom's cell phone, it rings, and then he calls in to the FBI.
Yes,
like, you know,
we think it's
dispatch.
Strom now. Yes.
Yes, like he sets a fucking arrest warrant out for Strom, and then we get back into this glass coffin room where Strom and Hoffman are like kind of fucking fist fighting for a while, which is a little fun.
It is, and it's like they're doing actually a coffin match, kind of, because
yes.
There's this open plastic coffin thing that has broken glass in it and the tape recorder. And it seems like obviously that's where Hoffman wants Strom to go. So they're fighting each other to see who's going to go into that coffin.
Yeah. Yes. And Strom tosses Hoffman in it and locks it and says, "I got you, motherfucker."
Mm-hmm.
And then basically it's just like, uh-oh. Hoffman starts like getting lowered back towards the floor, and you realize the walls are closing in on Strom.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, now it becomes a Buried Alive match.
Yeah, a little bit for a quick second.
But this is it's the fucking Star Wars garbage compactor. That's how this movie ends.
Yes, it is.
And it does its job for once.
It actually works.
That
was
an IMDb spoiler trivia that I actually could get behind. It's like, this is one of the rare times when a crushing room actually crushes someone. And I'm like, dude, whoever you are, I do find this interesting.
Strom was trying frantically to tell R2-D2 to shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level. It didn't happen in time.
Hey, Steve, can I ask you, did you actually click helpful or interesting?
I never
you
would.
You got a thumbs up, dude.
No, I should have, yeah.
But yeah, this dude pops like a grape, man. You see his fucking, like, arm bone pop out of his body.
Yeah.
It doesn't go all the way with
it. No, it's the end. It's literally the fucking end of the movie. Like, I'm like,
I didn't hear that.
And black title card, a film by David Hackett. I'm like, what happened to Jigsaw?
Yes, what happened to Jigsaw? And I need to hear the melon of his head pop, you know?
Yeah.
Like that. You know how it sounds when that happens.
I don't, but I know you do. There's a good image where, like, Constance Mandalore has all the blood like dripping on the thing.
Yes.
That's like cool. These are two interesting, good images for a horror movie. And then you're out. Like, right at the fucking end. Like, God damn it. I hate this.
It turns into a horror movie in literally the last shot of the movie, which is pretty crazy. And the thing is, you know, what happened to Jigsaw? What was in that box and so on? Who started that fire? Mm-hmm. That whole thing. Hey, stay tuned. 7 months, you'll be back in the theater seeing fucking Saw 6 or whatever the turnaround was.
And there's going to be shit in that also isn't explained, but actually is very important to the 7th movie. This is like proto-Marvel shit. Like, this was the first attempt to, like, just throw in random fucking bullshit and we'll set it up in the next one. Who gives a shit? Let's just do it, baby.
I don't remember how it goes after that, because, like, 6 is the last one to be numbered, because then it was, like, Saw 3D, I think, and then the 8th one was Jigsaw, and then I think then, so the 9th one is Spiral, so that's why this is indeed Saw X, is that, if I do have the count right there, maybe?
The one called Jigsaw is almost good.
It's as far as these movies go, I was pleasantly
really
surprised
well
by
directed.
Jigsaw.
I think it's actually, funny enough, I think that one's directed by the Daybreakers guys.
Oh, really?
Is that right? So. I think it's a brother duo.
So you guys are telling me that Saw 3 is different from Saw 3D?
Yes.
Yes. That's Saw 3. Saw 3D was Saw 7.
There you go.
I believe.
And
it, the Spirit Brothers.
Steve, I think your legislation about the numbers are needed.
Thank you.
Because I mean, here's another comparison. Here you go. Friday the 13th Part 3 is the 3D one. You know,
that's when you do it.
And I know that you're embarrassed because it's the 10th Saw, the 9th Saw movie or whatever. But that's not my problem. You started this convention. You got to keep it going.
Yeah.
All right. So wait a second. I'm looking it up right now. We're going to get the count. Saw 2, Saw 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 3D is 7. And then Jigsaw is 8.
And then Spiral would be 9.
Spiral would be 9. And then so this is Saw X. But it's kind of funny because in the follows part on IMDb, they don't actually acknowledge that Spiral exists, but
smart
if
move.
You're making Saw, but oh yeah, it's awful, but like if you're making Saw X, Saw 10, like you have to include it, otherwise then your math is just off.
I mean, I guess so, but also, you know what, I don't want to give him too much shit about Spiral, because theoretically that's the kind of thing I want these spin-offs. The problem you have there is that you asked Chris Rock to act. That was your issue, and you should have nipped that in the bud early on. You have Chris Rock trying to act against Samuel L. Jackson. Do you know how embarrassing that is? Do you have idea?
That was a weird. Chris Rock has been acting for 20 years, but somehow there was like a monkey's paw wish he made that in the year 2021, where he got all these opportunities that he'd never had before, and he was terrible at all of them.
He's always bad. I mean, unless he's playing like a version of himself, like that top five movie, like those. Those almost
Top
work.
Five was
yeah,
okay.
Those movies almost work. But like whenever he's doing serious stuff, it's a nightmare.
Well, that's why like I'd prefer like, you know, at least like his comedies, like what, like Down to
Down
You?
To, Down to Earth. Down I Think to, I Love My Wife.
Down to Earth. Head of State. Wasn't that another one? What's the one where he's like a twin?
Oh, Bad Company. Bad Company.
Bad Company. Yeah. Right. So like those things versus like Fargo and Spiral and all, you know, like that. It's just a huge.
I have not seen Spiral, but it is double the budget of this. Does it? Is
it? It looks
world?
Better. It looks way.
It's
better.
A world. We're going outside. It's yeah. It's an actual. It's a we're going and playing outside movie. Like you can tell, there is a budget there. That was the dude. This sucks, and it will always be the case, right? You can't undo stuff like this. Spiral was the first movie I went back to the theaters for when the pandemic was dying down.
Oh man, mine's more embarrassing than yours.
What was yours?
Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah,
I went back,
dude.
Super
but you know
early,
what,
dude?
Dude, Mortal Kombat 2021 is a better movie than Spiral, though.
It is.
I believe. No honestly, I believe you.
So anyway, that is the end of fucking Saw 5. By the way, we stopped talking about the movie 10 minutes
ago.
Fuck it. Go around the horn here. Final thoughts, Eric Sisko?
Yeah, no, for me, I think this is the worst Saw movie I've seen. I've only seen them in order so far, I think. I don't think I've jumped ahead at all. But
sure.
I mean, the first two are, you know, there's at least something there. I thought 4 was bad, but this is the worst so far for me. I can't recommend it in good conscience because there's nothing here. There's nothing here. It's just we're flashing back to other movies and I couldn't fucking give a shit.
Yeah, I'll jump in and just say, yeah, obviously not a recommendation from me. I'm very happy for everyone who's so stoked for Saw X. Like, hey, that's cool. Like what you like. This shit is just aggressively not for me. And I think it's just bad and poorly made on top of it not being for me. So absolutely not. Steve Sadak.
Yeah, no, this is, I agree with Eric. This is the worst of the Saw movies and I've never liked a single one. But this is absolutely the worst thus far because I just watched this like an hour and a half before we started and like it ended and I was so mad. Yeah. I was just so because like the other ones at least fulfill the brief of a horror movie or fulfill the brief even of a Saw movie. Here again we are writing checks that we're just like, we'll do that in the next one, don't worry, because we've never done that before. We've done like, we'll in the next one we're going to connect things even more and blah blah blah, and like you'll see the other end of a phone call or whatever bullshit. This is just like, we threw up a ball, we'll catch it the next one. I don't give a shit. Who cares?
Figure it
and
out.
So yeah, that and I think even like part 4 has Donnie Wahlberg getting crushed by two ice cubes.
That's nice.
Which we do flashback here because it was awesome.
Yes.
But like nothing is as exciting or as fun. I don't think the traps are cool in this one either, FYI.
So there you go. Oh, that Donnie Wahlberg death is so cool. They show it to you twice in this movie. Chris Cabin, final thought of the evening.
I would like to believe that this is the first one, the worst of the bunch so far. But here's the problem, as we've gone over before, like other than the first one and Jigsaw, the eighth one. I remember those two. Every other one immediately evaporates. Like there's just, I don't remember any of it. Like five, for all I know, might be better than three because I don't remember three and I don't care. But like, so, but to your point, like, this is just a waste of time. And I wish I knew, the people who do like these, I wish I knew what you liked about this because I don't understand any of it. Like, to me, it's all gore and the gore is not very good. The only reason you would like this, especially, is because one thing it has a lot of is women screaming for help and not getting it. And I assume you really like that, but I don't know because I don't know what else is there to like other than Tobin Bell, maybe.
See, I like women screaming for help and not getting it, but I need that set up, Chris. Sure. That's the thing. Fair. That's the problem with these movies is it live in the, I know I was going to say environment, but there is no environment in these movies, but that's the problem is it needs it.
Live
it
in the hole.
Get out of the bunker for part of the film.
Maybe. We would hope.
I'm just looking through back on Letterboxd of like what I rated the other ones coming up. And so Six and Jigsaw, I both rated 2.5 stars. And then Saw 3D, so in the middle there, I rated 1 star. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything that fucking happens in any of those movies. I don't know why one was 2.5 stars and then the next one was 1. I could not tell.
Just glance at mine, it looks like I liked Saw 4 the most. Ooh, look at me. Okay,
oh, hey, there you go. That is going to do it for our episode on Saw 5. Of course, this is just the start of the Halloween Spooktacular, folks. We are getting it going. Also over on the Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where Steve Sadak, we're talking about what masterpiece on WLM?
And it's also sort of spooky. It's Blade, awesome vampire killing movie with the great Wesley Snipes. We had a lot of fun on that episode.
Absolutely. And Steve, you know what's funny is because I was just thinking Spooktacular, and I know this is coming out in September, so that's why you said Blade. I was actually fucking, in my mind, dude, I was thinking about October's WLM.
Oh.
So we'll have to save that. I'm getting confused when these episodes are coming out. We're still September, gang. Here we go. Animation Damnation out now, of course, is all about an episode of King of the Hills. Here are our thoughts on that. Melrose 210. We're still in fucking Paris over on 90210 at that point. And things are getting, things are getting heated up on Melrose Place, of course. And Eric, who are we talking about on the Gleep Glossary this month?
Well, this month of September, because the Spooktacular started early, we are talking about the pod race pilots of Star Wars Episode One, the first movie we kicked off the month with. So we're kind of a little compendium for you guys to go through. Mm-hmm. It's a supersized episode. It's about an hour. And by the way, just between you and me, you can get ad-free episodes of the main feed now on Patreon at the $8 level, including this one. If you didn't like anything you heard ad-wise on this episode, get hit to that Patreon.
Absolutely. Now, Steve Sadak here on We Hate Movies Prime, as we call it, next Tuesday. An all-new episode is dropping both on the free feed and on the ad-free Patreon. What are we going to be talking about then?
Oh, you know, it's an excellent day for an exorcism, and it's even worse day because it's The Exorcist, The Beginning.
From 2004. Harlan.
Yeah, this is the Harlan joint, right? So this is the movie that was taken away from Paul Schrader and then remade with a lot of the same material.
Schrader recut it. I forget what it's called.
Dominion, the prequel to The Exorcist.
That's the thing.
I want to say, though, what you see in Exorcist the Beginning, there's not a lot of Schrader there. It's a fucking terrible movie. I'm kind of excited to go back to it because, like, aside from fucking Exorcist 3, I do not like these Exorcist sequels. The John Borman one, too. No thanks. Right, Borman did part
the Heretic. It was terrible.
Yeah, no good there. I don't know. I'm really excited about it. We will have to see just how bad it is. I'm really terrified it's going to be like me being like, geez, you know, it's a lot better than I remember.
Well, that shows you the state of the things, you know?
I mean, I guess that's true. So we'll just have to wait and see. So until next week, where we're talking Exorcist The Beginning, terrible title. I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisk.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Sometimes that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Put the fucking lotion in the bag!
What an excellent day for an exorcism.